They're like, right, I want to have 10,000 followers. I cannot be successful until that point. And I'm like, if you could talk to 10,000 followers, but if they're not your 10,000 target market people, that does not matter.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of Office Hours. Before we dive in, I have a quick favor to ask of you. If you're enjoying listening to Office Hours, do you mind taking a moment to subscribe, leave a review, and share the podcast with someone who could really benefit from some of our learnings that we talk about together? Your support helps us reach so many more entrepreneurs and business owners, and it helps us keep creating really valuable content because we get more feedback, learn what more people's needs are, and it really just helps us build a community all together. So would really appreciate it, and thank you so, so much.
Hi there, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Office Hours. This time, I'm super excited to welcome not just someone that's become a friend of mine, but also someone that has become an amazing co-pilot on the Lucia platform. She is known for her incredible branding and design work. She has even started working on the social media accounts for Lucia and many other travel and hospitality brands. She's truly gifted, and not just in the way that she does her own marketing and builds her own brand of business, but also in advising others. So I thought there's no better way to help share her knowledge, but to bring on Nikita with us today. So Nikita, thank you so much for joining us. It's such a pleasure to have you on and chat marketing with you.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Grace. I'm so excited to be here. My first podcast guest appearance. I'm very excited.
Well, I'm glad. Well, I know to give context to some of the people listening, it would be very helpful. So can you give us some of your background into why you're an expert in this field and why people should listen to you when it comes to branding, marketing, and just overall building out your business?
Yeah. So basically where it all started is I studied graphic design. I did all of that and I got a job after uni. And I always kind of had this thing in the back of my brain, like, I want to do my own thing. I was that person in school that created fashion booklets of how my store is going to look and like what this brand name is going to be. And I just like was always kind of thinking outside the box and what more could it be? Because I really liked helping people, but I wanted it to be helping people in a way that I could still be creative and design, you know, their brand and help them create something that comes to life. So I kind of went along and I got my first job in London after I moved here from South Africa. And I kind of went job to job and I wasn't fully happy. And I just always kind of thought, like, I remember being at a restaurant with my friend and saying, I really want to start freelancing, but like, I don't really know where to wait. I'm really nervous to post on socials. I'm really nervous to post my first post. I'm really nervous to just put myself out there. Like, why should people even listen to me? And she was like, just do it. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to start. I'm just going to do it. And yeah, ever since then, I basically was building my business alongside my 9-to-5. And then I managed to connect with various people through Lucia, through word of mouth, networking, everything like that. And yeah, through that, I've kind of learned along the way. And I think I've always been really interested in strategy and consumer psychology. Like, I almost wanted to do a master's in consumer psychology, but I think I've just kind of adapted and I kind of use that every day in terms of social media marketing and like the psychology of how people look at things. So yeah, I think through just self-teaching a lot of strategy situations and going through the motions with different clients, I think now from having quite a few clients, I have like proper procedures in place, proper setups. And yeah, I just really like helping people create that brand presence.
Totally. Well, you're definitely underselling yourself too from the perspective of now, even after just, you know, leaving the full-time job to pursue entrepreneurship on your own and building out your own studio, you've become very popular very quickly in the hospitality, especially luxury hospitality and luxury travel space, which is so exciting to see just because you have such a knack for it and you're truly so talented at it. And so one of the reasons why I wanted to bring you on here is because I've seen it myself and I've seen kind of the work that you do. And I want to help bring some of our listeners along for the ride and understanding how to build out your niche, how to think about content strategy, how to think about content from the perspective of your marketing, but also storytelling, and kind of dig through all the different pieces of marketing in the perspective that you're really great at. So let's just jump in. I want to ask you, you know, just kicking things off here. When you think about personal branding, a lot of the folks listening to this are either in the middle of starting their own business, they're growing their own personal brand, they're someone who's thinking about it, there's a lot of different levels that someone might be at. So can you just dig into how important personal branding is?
I mean, I think it's honestly one of the most important parts. I feel like especially the brands that are solo brands. So for example, travel advisors, you are the face of your brand, you know, and I think it's important because people trust people and people buy from people and people know that brands lie and people know that, you know, brands cover up things behind a brand name, and you putting yourself forward as a personal brand and creating a personal brand in terms of positioning yourself as an expert is the most important thing, because that's how people will connect with you. If you are using your platform to tell your story and how that integrates with your business, people will connect with you rather than just slapping some information behind a logo. And it's really important as the foundation to build that consumer trust. So yeah, I mean, one of the most important thing, if you think about Emma Chamberlain, she's got like a $20 million coffee brand. She took coffee and created a brand because of her personal brand. Grace Beverly, Stephen Bartlett, all of those people have made businesses from their personal brand first. And like, yeah, obviously some of them are YouTubers and some of them are famous, but at the same time, it's all on that personal brand foundation.
Yeah, I think Grace Beverly is a great example. She didn't start out as a celebrity. She started out as someone who just built a personal brand. And your point about you can't hide behind a logo, that is so true. Like when you're putting yourself out there, there's nowhere to hide. So therefore, people either trust you a lot more or they at least want to get to know you a lot more because there's a lot more honesty tied into it, I think, you know?
Yeah.
So what does like that storytelling come into part? I mean, if you're talking about personal branding, like, are you just posting about your day to day? Are you just talking about who you are as a person? Are you telling a story the same way a brand is? Can you kind of walk me through the storytelling aspect of that?
Yeah. So I think how I like to look at storytelling is connecting personal experiences with your business and with your brand. So for example, say now you're turning 27. You could say 27 things that I wish I knew before starting my business. This links to, it's my 27th birthday today. And firstly, that's kind of letting someone into a personal part of your life that they think, oh, you know, they wouldn't just show that to anyone. Or you can say, I don't know, maybe you've got a new house. And you can say, this is how I'm setting up my home office for ultimate productivity. Like that kind of thing, you know, where it's like kind of linking that person, what's going on in your personal life, but there's obviously a very fine line there, and it needs to link back to, does this actually give benefit to my viewers? Like, you're not going to be showing me what you're cooking for dinner every night, because that's not, you know, telling me anything about your business. So I think that kind of link is great. And I think storytelling in terms of being on FaceTime with a friend, people love that. Like, they want to be feeling that they're in a friendship with you. And, you know, think of like your comfort YouTubers and your comfort content creators. You almost need to take inspiration from that. And I think storytelling, I mean, it's always been like a comfort to read a book. When we were babies, our parents read us books. And it's kind of seeing like how something started, the middle and the end. Yeah, does that make sense?
Absolutely. Well, how do you then use it from the perspective? And I love the context of like saying, let's say it's your birthday and that's how you're tying like things into your day-to-day life. How do you do it from the perspective of like, I need to be talking, and like, there's probably a lot of folks that are like, I need to sell my brand. Like, I don't have time to set up a personal brand for years. So how do I do it with, you know, a little bit of nuance here, but how do I tell my story of who I am as a person?
Yeah.
Literally. Like, is it just saying like, hi, I'm Grace. I'm, you know, married to Max. I live in DC. Like, what do you tell about yourself? Is it just posting on one platform? Is it just posts? Is it like, how do you take that more tangibly into the day to day?
I think what you can do, I mean, firstly, kind of taking them along in a form of a reel is usually a bit more personal, and taking them along your day to day, for example, behind the scenes works great. Like behind the scenes, send on your travel advisor, behind the scenes of planning a trip for my client. Like that's kind of giving them a bit of insight, a little bit of like secrecy behind the scenes, but it's still helping show what you're doing, what your clients are going to be getting out of it. And it's kind of showing behind the scenes of what your product or your service is. So I think behind the scenes works really well. I think if you're going to a networking event, posting a video about come to this networking event with me, you know, that kind of thing. And yeah, anything that kind of involves your brand. I'm trying to think of another example. I can't think like on the top.
No, that's a great one. I also think too, when you mentioned like come with me to this networking event or here's a day in the life, you're also showing the expertise level from the perspective of like, not just this is what I sell, but here's how I do it and here's why I'm great at it. So I love that perspective of it too. And that's not so much of like selling. That's more so showing. I remember when I was in like sixth grade English class, like my English teacher was like, show me, don't tell me. You know, when you're writing that short story for like some project, she was like, show me, don't tell me. And you're doing the same thing here. Don't say I'm a, you know, short-term rental Airbnb property manager. This is the properties that I sell. Book here if you want to stay with us in Turks and Caicos. That's not what you're talking about here. You're saying, let me show you. You're going to figure out that I'm a short-term rental property manager by listening.
That, like the lifestyle content for that, it's like, if you're a short-term rental manager, you are wanting to show people what it's going to feel like to stay at their hotel. What kind of luxury lifestyle do they desire? And that's tapping into the desire element and into that like social aspect where it's, this could be you. And that's all you need to really show. Like, this could be you if, you know, you booked here. And that's also where UGC comes in, where I'm sure we'll talk about later on. But I feel like brands that do that well, for example, Adenola, they're always posting pictures of content creators and normal people, for example, getting a coffee in the Adenola suit or like going for a run or meeting up with friends. And that's the lifestyle behind the brand. So instead of just saying, this is the top, this is how you can use it, which I think in short-term rental properties, UGC is so important. Like that kind of element of this is how you could feel, this is what you could be posting on your socials to show your friends is a good tap in for that for sure.
Yeah, definitely. So, okay, pivoting here now for someone who's thinking tangibly, okay, I'm interested in doing this. I like the idea of creating my own brand. I have my niche. Hopefully, if you're listening to this, you're either, like we said, you either have a business, you're thinking about starting one. That niche is going to be something particular that you come up with. When you're thinking about having a founder, a business owner, someone that's trying to create just their own brand, even if they work in another company, how do they create a targeted content plan? Like, how do you actually come up with the strategy of coming up with content? How do you think about that in full as like an actual strategy rather than just posting haphazardly?
Yeah. No, I think strategy is the most important part. And I think it's, people get so excited, they just want to start posting, but you can't just, you know, post off a whim. So I think what I find that a lot of people don't know, like whenever I have a new client, I send them a brand questionnaire and they never know what their unique selling point is. And I always ask, oh, what's your USP? And so a lot of them go, what is that? And it's like, that is such a fundamental point. You need to know, what is unique about what you're doing, okay? Because you're going to talk about that. And that's built into your strategy. Then you need to look at, who am I actually talking to? And what do they actually care about? Like, what are their pain points? Like, what are they really struggling with that I can kind of show them that I can help with? What are their desires? Which is kind of what I spoke about the Airbnbs. What are they actually wanting to learn from? What do they value? And I think listing that out, and then, yes, doing a competitor analysis, but genuinely, I think that a target audience analysis is way more important than a competitor analysis. Because if you know your target audience, and if you know who your business is, like looking internally in your business, if that makes sense, instead of just really harping on the external, that's the really important part, I think. That will really help you create your strategy. And then once you've got all those pain points, desires, values, your unique selling point, all of that, you can take that and create pillars. And these pillars will be 3 to 4. And these pillars can be the kind of header for the type of content you're going to post. So if you're like, okay, this person is...
We can use Lucia as an example.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, exactly. Lucia, you've got your very specific, like the pain points that we're trying to solve or talk about. So like, that's a good example.
Exactly. So... I mean, yeah, then you've got the content strategy for one of the pillars will be, okay, these business owners don't have enough time to do their social media, do their marketing, do their email campaigns. They don't have enough time in the day. Therefore, this is one of the pain points that we're going to talk to. And therefore, Lucia will be able to sell through that pain point because they can say, we can help you free your time. We can help you have longer weekends. We can help you work 4 hours a day instead of 40 hours a day, you know, that kind of thing. And that's, I think, tapping into the pain point of how you can help instead of saying, this is what we do. And just getting that emotional moment.
No, I love that. So I know we could talk about this for hours because there's so many different ways that you can dig into this deeper, but I want to keep this, really important from the perspective of like the strategy of when someone's coming up with their content pillars, when they've decided, okay, I'm going to show some day in the life content. I'm going to show some like behind the scenes of this is how I plan a trip or this is how I get ready for a guest to come stay at our property. Are there any common pitfalls that you see when people are thinking this through in the beginning? I know you mentioned to start, people just want to jump into quickly. So I'm sure that's one of them, but what are the others? Yeah.
So I think one is definitely that people create content that they want to see and that they like. Mm. And they don't think about what their audience wants to see. Another one is they make it about themselves. You can't be selfish in the beginning. You can't ever really be selfish with your content. It's not about you. It's about what your audience wants. And I think people forget that and they kind of go, oh, let me show you this about me and this about my business. Okay, but how, like, why do I care? Why does it benefit me? And you kind of need to look at it from like another point of view and look at it from your audience's point of view. And I think, yeah, those in terms of like the way that you're acting on social, like what you're portraying is a common downfall. Obviously, again, like I said, going in without strategy. And then probably one that is probably more like known, but just not having a consistent branding, like not having consistent fonts, consistent colors, imagery, that kind of thing. And another one that I see, which irks me, is they, like a lot of people merge their family life and their business life and everything together. And they'll be like posting of them out at a bar. Or I'm like, that has nothing to do with your business. There's such a fine line between personal storytelling and personal branding and just like having a rant on your Instagram story. Like that's not good, you know?
So I think those are two very different. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like you could show the personal side of yourself, but you can't start like going outside of what your brand would be expected for either.
No, 100%. Yeah. And like, I think a lot of people also, they just want to go viral. They're like, right, I want to have 10,000 followers. I cannot be successful until that point. And I'm like, if you could talk to 10,000 followers, but if they're not your 10,000 target market people, that does not matter. So a lot of people go into like, I want viral content. I want to go viral. Okay, but you can't just like use that viral content to get random followers, because if they're 10% that are your target market and 90% that are like 18-year-old people that just want some travel ideas, that's not going to help your business.
A really interesting thing too is that I see a lot of times folks will be like really posting content that almost makes you think that they just want to become famous. And I know that deep down, like that's a really fun feeling of like, how cool would it be to like have a ton of followers? But imagine you had 100 people in a room that were all your target customers and you're speaking directly to them. That's like actual thing about how many people 100 folks are. That's a lot of people in a room. And if they're all the right person for you and the right business, like ideal customer for you, that's a lot of people. So even if you're talking to 300, 400, 500, the right people, that's a lot of people. So I think that's a really great perspective of like, make sure you're talking to the right folks.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, and that's also where it comes in, where referrals happen. You know, if you're speaking, if you have a few followers, but they have good referrals, that's how you build up, you know, that those links. And like, I think social media is not everything. And social media following is not everything. And I think it's important to not get stuck on the numbers, but focus on what you're putting out. And I think like a lot of people have these goals. Okay, I want to hit 10,000 this in 2025, but that's out of your control. Rather say, okay, I'm going to post 3 times a week, every day for 2025. That's in your control. And I think that'll help people also be like less hung up on the numbers and realizing like what you say. You know, if you're speaking to room of 100 people, that is a lot of people.
Yeah. And I know when you say numbers, to clarify, like Nikita is meaning here like followers. Obviously, yeah, like seeing engagement's helpful. Like we're not discounting any engagement for sure. That's totally different though. We're talking about like the vanity metrics here that don't matter, which is followers, follower count, and like frankly, sometimes likes as well.
Yeah.
The engagement that matters, that you should look at, and the numbers that do matter have nothing to do with those. And that's more like your saves and shares and comments, like the actual 100%, engagement.
Yeah, your clicks on your website. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, the click-through rate of how people are actually signing up with you. Oh my gosh, we could do a whole other session of like making sure you capture all the leads that you actually then get from social media, which that's like the hardest part too, is people like get all excited about setting up their social media and they'll take care of all of that, but then they forget that people need to actually be captured once they join your website or visit your website, et cetera. So we'll jump to that at probably another episode, frankly. But Okay, cool. But like, what elements should people focus on? What's working these days? I know Instagram is like probably the most popular for the type of industry that we're in. So what type of elements specifically for Instagram, I'd say, should people be focusing on? Does it matter like what your tone of voice is or like the visuals? Is it the frequency? Is it everything? What matters the most?
I think everything, to be honest. I think showing up on stories is underrated and works really well. But like showing up on stories in a kind of FaceTime way, kind of just like checking in, also showing up and like speaking to the camera. Obviously that can be done in Reels, but I think stories is working really well. Tone of voice in terms of capturing people's attention, like every single minute of the day gets harder to capture people's attention. So, yeah, I mean, every second there's a new app. So I think hooks and, you know, when you're starting a Reel, like get into it, like get into it in the first millisecond because people are scrolling and they're going to scroll past. So getting a visual hook, hooks on the screen, a voice hook, like all of the hooks. And you kind of want to start telling a story almost from the end. And then you want to kind of go backwards and like unravel how you got there in a way. Intrigue people like, okay, but I want to know how that happened. So I think in terms of that, I think posting frequency does matter. I've noticed this. I am literally like being a social media manager, I'm terrible with posting my own social media.
I know, isn't that hilarious?
I was like, I need my own social media manager, genuinely. Like I cannot do my socials because I feel like when you focus on your clients, you're going to get that work done. But when it's yours, you're like, oh, it's fine. And I think I stopped posting for a while. And then when I started again, my engagement was so low. And I was like, just because I haven't posted for like a few weeks, and then that build up takes quite long to kind of regain. Yeah. So I think consistency, you know, I think also frequency over perfection. Like, of course, you want to have nice, polished content, but rather just get something out and make sure that, you know, you're posting that frequency. And also going back to your analytics and seeing what actually worked this month. What do people actually want to see? Because that's just like a way to see what is doing well and what, you know, you should continue doing.
I saw a tip once that someone recommended, like taking a screenshot of like your main feed page so you'd see the number of followers and all that, but then also going into your analytics on your socials and like screenshotting that at the beginning of the month so that when you go back at the end of the month, you can go say like, okay, this is what worked or didn't work well. And so like I write it down too. I have this like journal thing that I track it in, but like I'll write down, okay, like all of my stories performed really, really well and they were great for engagement. And then so did carousels, but Reels didn't, you know? And so you could start to see like what, and also the pillars that you talk about and like what pillars did really well. So I would take a look at all of that too.
100%. Yeah. I think also like with one of my clients, because obviously I do like analytic reports at the end of the month. And for the last 2 months now, memes have been working so well. Like, I think it's that period over like December and January where no one really wants to learn anything. And like, but it's memes that relate to their business. You know, it's like memes that are, okay, these memes relate to this course that they're selling, that kind of thing. And just like funny content, like things that aren't always educational. Like people don't want to feel like they're in a classroom, you know, like mixing it up is also really important. Like being on FaceTime, memes, education, and showing your face. I feel like those are the four important things. And frequency.
Frequency over everything. I think for anyone listening, if you have not started, that's the hurdle you have to go over first. Like if you have not posted because you're worried about how perfect it is, don't get mistaken from our comments of like, you need to work hard to make sure the content's great. That's if you're at least posting. Like you'll get better at it, but you just need to start. That's the biggest hurdle.
And it's definitely the hardest part is starting. Even like I went this year, it was so like hard for me to post my first post of the year. I was like, no, I don't know. I just felt like I was starting again. And I got so nervous. And I was like, I just need to post it. Like, do you know what? And I've been posting before then. So like, I totally get that fear. And it's so normal. And if you don't get the engagement you want, you're like, oh, maybe I should delete it. But do not delete your post. Like, just keep everything on there. Everyone starts somewhere. And yeah, I think it's really easy to get up in, like, get caught up in comparing yourself. And get caught up in, oh my gosh, I'm going to be made fun of. Like, this is so, no one wants to listen to what I'm saying. This is so dumb. But once you get over that hurdle, each next post is easier.
And now, from the perspective too of let's use me as an example. So I right now am talking on my socials a lot about like there's founder related stuff. There's also like my daily life. There's the mix of me trying to figure out like what our niche is, what my niche is as a, like a founder that's different from our business content. So if you head over to my Instagram, you're going to see there's a whole mix of stuff right now because I'm frankly trying to figure it out. So what advice would you give me and everyone else listening for trying to figure out what your niche is and how to get better at niche marketing and defining what that niche looks like?
Yeah. So I think, to be honest, choosing your niche should really be what you enjoy the most, because that is where the passion is going to come from. And therefore, it's going to be way easier to create content about that. Also obviously looking at what clients are coming to you the most, that's also another way to look at it. You know, for example, since this year I've been getting loads of travel clients because this year is a travel hospitality platform, and that's kind of becoming my niche in a way, like an unexpected way. So sometimes that happens. One of my clients, cruises, has started becoming her niche because she just had word of mouth. So I think there's two sets. You know, if you don't have a lot of clients yet and you have like random client buckets, I'd say look at what you're passionate about. So like maybe you love speaking about founder advice and advice that you wished you knew when before you started your business or things like that. And that can become your niche. I mean, I think that's mainly Grace Beverly's niche and that works for her. And I think, yeah, just really finding something that you enjoy talking about. And in the beginning, like you said, the fact that you're trying different things is perfect, because how are you supposed to know what you love, right? That's like, you need to go to school before you go into a job, right? So you need to like try out all the different things and take all the boring classes before you find out what you enjoy. So I think, yeah, my thing is just go with what you like and everything will follow.
Oh, I love that. You have to go to school before you actually do that with the job. And that's so true of like your actual day-to-day stuff. True.
Yeah.
What is some like practical ways of than standing out? Because like you mentioned Grace Beverly, there's plenty of, first of all, not only are there plenty of people putting out founder-led content, there's another girl with the name Grace on there. So how do I stand out? How does someone else stand out, you know, when thinking about content and making and finding your niche when there's dozens of other, hundreds of other travel advisors that focus on cruises, for example?
Yeah. So I think that's when it comes to personal brand and your personal branding. And I think there's like a really practical way that this girl does on TikTok, which is, it's kind of like straightforward, but it's, I think it's really clever. But she always wears a red hat in all of her videos. And every time you see this red hat, you go, oh, it's her. So I know that's like a really minimal thing, but you could have like a distinct background or like a distinct thing you wear in terms of getting attention. A second thing you could do is find your unique selling point, which is kind of what we spoke about earlier. What makes you different? You know, maybe you could say, instead of just founders in general, you could say founders that have a passion for this, or founders that live in this city, or founders that are first-time moms. I know that's not your like specific niche, but some people can do that, because like then other people that are founders that are first-time moms will latch onto that. You know, like that, those like kind of seeing, okay, what does my life entail right now? Maybe you're, you know, talking about, it just has to be your personal story.
Yeah.
And how that can link in a way.
No, I love that. It has to be true to you and what you experience in your day to day. Definitely. How I want to pivot a little bit into, if it's all right with you, leveraging UGC content as well. Mm-hmm. Because for us, you know, we're talking about here mostly to a lot of travel advisors, to some boutique hotel owners, to some short-term rental managers. So all of these businesses are slightly different, but all of them are similar in the way that the person running the business needs to have a personal brand, but also you're branding the business that's linked to you as a result. And so how do you take advantage of that kind of UGC content during that process?
Yeah, so I think UGC content, so this is user-generated content, for if anyone doesn't know, which is basically, you get two aspects from it. So if you're a travel advisor, you can use this from your clients when they're on trips. So this can be them posting stories, tagging you, posting stories of what kind of perks you've gotten them. And then if you're a short-term rental property manager, you can get people that actually come to your property and create content, like in terms of reels, and show that like lifestyle aspect in your hotel or Airbnb or anything like that. So I think in terms of how you can practically encourage clients to do it, if there's no money thing involved, right? If you're not paying them to create UGC, one thing you can do is create a branded hashtag. So that really works well if you've built a good personal brand that people want to be a part of and creating a branded hashtag. You can also create incentives like discounts or special reward systems to people that are posting about your content. Also, UGC content doesn't always need to be people posting on their platform. They can also be sending you content. So in terms of, you know, for short-term rental, that works well where people can send you content and you just have more content to post with a bunch of different people experiencing your hotel, where obviously if you're a travel advisor, you want your clients to be posting on their story and tagging you. And I think also, so brand hashtag or an incentive such as discounts, but I think also make it really simple, like make the process really simple, because if people need to do something for no reward and it's really difficult, they're not going to do it, you know? So I think, yeah, those kinds of things can work. And just kind of also asking them straight up, like, look, do you mind tagging me? It would be really beneficial, because people, I don't know, when people ask me for a review, I'm like, oh my God, I need to give you a review. Like, you know, just like
same. I'm always like that. I'm like, oh my gosh, of course I would help. Like, of course. You're like helping that person.
Exactly. And you feel like needed. So I feel like if you ask someone for a review, that is, I know it sounds so simple, but it generally goes such a long way. So if you ask someone for a tag or for something like that, I mean, the other day, the waiter asked me to review my meal and I took a photo and put it on Google and I was like, I'm a 50-year-old woman right now. But I just felt like I was helping. Like, do you know what I mean?
Amazing. I love it.
Exactly. So all of that, if that doesn't work, then go into the more, you know, other tactics. Yeah.
Totally. Well, that's great. Is there any like examples that you have that are like really good examples of folks that do this well?
I know Hilton Hotels does a hashtag. I think it's Hilton Collective. So if you go onto that hashtag, it's everyone that's posted content at the hotel. And that's like a UGC feed and it's great. So that's like, obviously Hilton's like a big hotel and that's like, everyone wants to be part of Hilton, which is why the hashtag works. I think also, I'm going to tap into Grace Beverly again. I just love her. But what she does is so obviously she's got the productivity method. So what she does is she gets different founders to post their daily to-do list using her like productivity method snapshot. And that's a form of UGC because it's getting different founders showing their day-to-day and how they are using their product to improve their life. So that's a good way as well. And then, yeah, I think Adenola, which is another one, which I mentioned earlier, is getting people. That's like when you ask people to kind of take content. For example, if you had an Airbnb, that would kind of work well. But yeah, those are like probably my top three.
Yeah, no, that's a great example. I know from the like travel advising industry, another company that does it really well is SmartFlyer. They do like the hashtag SmartFlyer take me to. And then my friends that run Curated Coast, they have a hashtag. Oh my gosh, I'm forgetting it now. But they have a hashtag that's basically like, dang it, I'm gonna be so mad that I forgot it. But it's like something about like coasting, like, you know, coast to coast or something like that. Sam and Rachel, I'm sorry, I forgot your hashtag. But it's a great example, too, of like they get their customers. And I see on Sam and Rachel's socials for Curated Coast all the time. They get content from their travelers. I also think a really interesting thing that they do is that every time a traveler shows up at a hotel for them, and you could do this in an Airbnb, a hotel, doesn't matter. Anytime someone shows up at their, you know, destination, they have already pre-sent the hotel a little PDF that they've created on like Canva or whatever they use. And it's just like a welcome note to the traveler. But at the end, there is a hashtag and it literally says, please post on your stories and tag, or, you know, on your feed and tag Curated Coast and then this hashtag. And they always have content, like UGC content, rolling, because every time someone shows up, there's a piece of paper that has their branding. It's a welcome note from them. The hotel, it's 2 seconds of effort and like they sent them business. So they're happy to do it. And it shows up in their hotel room and the traveler will be like, oh my gosh, like this is so sweet. First of all, the client, our travel advisor is thinking of us. And also I can help their business, of course. And it works every time. It works.
And I feel like also whenever I see those like events and they're like, this is our hashtag, I feel like quite bougie putting on my story. I'm like, I want to tag you. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, an influencer when I'm like, tagging, I don't know, some expert into, because it
exactly.
makes people feel important as well, you know?
Yeah.
It gives them a little ego boost, but then it also helps your business, which makes them feel good. It's like an all round, like, good emotions going on.
Totally. Absolutely. Now, when it comes to like engaging with, you know, actively engaging with your audience, because let's say you've now started posting quite a bit, even if it's, you know, your mom and your sister commenting on your stuff in the beginning, that's fine. But how do you like find ways to actively engage with your audience in a meaningful way that it helps the business?
I think a lot of people usually just wait for engagement and they get upset when like people don't comment on their stuff. But I think you almost need to go out and like help people find you. And one of the tactics that's kind of sneaky, but really works, is I go to my competitors' accounts and I go onto their followers. And then I see of their followers who is my target audience. And then I go onto their profiles and I start liking their stories. Sometimes I'll comment on their stories. I'll like some of their posts. And that's a way to find your target audience, to let them know, hello, like, this is me, you know. And it's kind of like targeting people that, you know, if they follow you, that it's going to be beneficial to you. And I think also engagement in stories is like the most personal engagement that you can kind of get, like direct messaging, reacting to stories, that kind of thing is a bit more personal.
I feel like anytime someone's commenting on my stories, it's like someone's like texting me, you know.
Exactly.
Like, it's a personal thing.
Yeah. And I think that's like, in terms of if you're not getting engagement, this is a good way to go about starting that engagement train, you know, like taking charge. And then from there, it usually does follow. Also just searching certain things, like go on different hotels, see who's following them, see who they're following, you know, like those kinds of things. And usually there will be a link there because they're following them for a similar reason that they should be following you. And I think when commenting, be genuine. Do not be using ChatGPT comments. I see it all the time on LinkedIn and I literally want to throw up. No.
It's like, so obvious. It's so obvious. It doesn't take you that long to comment on stories, honestly.
No, exactly. Honestly, don't just do like an emoji. Like, just be genuine. Like, and it shouldn't be hard if you actually do enjoy the post, you know? And I think, yeah, like those kind of genuine comments will help. I think also going into comments with a mindset like, okay, once they comment, that's great for me. You need to be replying to your comments, and you need to be replying to your comments when they're coming through. Like, it's not,
don't wait until there's 10. You're not going to get to 10.
No, you're not going to get to 10 if you're not replying. And one of these, like what I really like, which kind of helps with that, is ManyChat. So ManyChat is like a AI app. I don't know if it's AI, I think it is. It's like an app basically that you can input like specific words, that when people comment a specific word, they will get a link sent directly to them as well as a reply on your comment. So this works well when you have things like podcasts. They can get the podcast link if they comment the word podcast or whatever you set it up to be. And whenever my clients have ManyChat, the engagement skyrockets because that's like an automatic reply that's going out. Instagram thinks like, oh, this girl's on it. Like, she is replying to these people. And it's also sending them a DM, which is personal and also immediate. So that really helps in getting the engagement flowing. And once it's flowing, Instagram pushes your content out to more people to see. Especially, like, that's how Reels work as well. As soon as you start getting a whole bunch of views, you're going to get loads of views because it's just that, like, first momentum. But yeah, don't be shy. Reply to people's stories, you know, but be genuine.
Yeah, be genuine and don't be shy. I love that.
Yeah.
That's just the list to go off of, honestly. And this is kind of my takeaway from our conversation, and to kind of wrap us up here, I want to ask you about the storytelling aspect. We talked about this a little bit, but can you give us just a takeaway example or something that we can use and start implementing today that will help us get better at storytelling? Again, I know we talked about this already, but I want to like leave us on a high note of something that someone can take an action right away.
Okay. One of my favorite actions, which can seem a little bit scary, but storytell in a controversial way. So for example, if you want to show someone this specific result in Greece, you can start off with, this is why I would never go to Italy in July. And then it goes into, because I would rather go to this resort in Greece, you know? So it's like, oh, why do you not want to go to Italy in July? Or like, this is why I hate the Maldives in August. I don't know. I'm just using like a random, like,
no, it's a good example. Yeah.
This is all like something that's a bit controversial, or like, do you actually need a travel advisor? That kind of thing, you know? It's like, but it's kind of starting things with controversial topics that works really well in getting people, that's a hook. And that is immediately your real hook. And you can even use that on carousels, you know, instead of saying destination spotlight, like think of something more creative. And I think just also saving a bunch of inspiration, that's great. But taking that and then implementing it is important as well. So yeah, I think those kind of like controversial posts do really well. And yeah, it's scary, but at the same time, it's different. It stands out. Like, because people think that businesses should be so like corporate and black and white and professional. And when people add a bit of spice, they're like, oh, like what's she doing?
Yeah, this is finally interesting.
Yeah. Exactly. It's a bit, you know, it's like when you're watching a series, like if it's just boring the whole time, no, you're just going to get next series.
That's so true. Yeah,
grabbing people's attention, be controversial.
I love it. We already did this from the storytelling lens, but is there any, let's give one more final takeaway. Is there one thing that we could take away from this conversation and why?
So I think one more thing that I actually didn't mention is optimize your profile. Optimize your bio in terms of write what you do, who you do it for, and what outcome you're getting these people. Like that is the formula for your bio. Next, optimize the pinned posts. Pinned posts should have something about you. If it's literally how you got into your job that you have now, pin it. If it's a bit of your services, pin it. Just so that when people land on your page, they know where to go. Like direct people. Sometimes people have a highlight that says start here. That's a great direction as well. So I think profile optimization, and also showing your face, which obviously I mentioned between the storytelling, but yeah, show your face, optimize your profile, bio, tell me who, why, and what, who, what, and why. Yeah, that's a really important takeaway.
That's perfect. Well, Nikita, thank you so much for joining us. We're probably gonna have to get you back on here and do more of these, because there's so much more to dig into in this world.
Yeah.
Seriously, I know. And we have talked about this at length, which is great. But thank you so much for doing this. You're always such a treat to have share some of your knowledge with us. So thank you. And for anyone interested in learning more about Nikita, we'll share her information and ways to contact her in the show notes. So thank you, Nikita. And thank you, everyone else, for joining another episode of Office Hours.
Thank you so much, Grace. And thank you so much, everyone, for listening. I hope it was helpful and that you can at least take one tip away.